Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, is based in London. He writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal, and he observes halfway between Europe and the United States, the world economy recovering from the virus, or is it? Enough vaccine, or is there? And the prospects of reopening schools, or is there? Of return to life at the office, or is there? We begin, however, with the anxiety of the virus and the vaccine in London, because within these last days, there was a sizable protest by people who are called by the London Telegraph anti-vaxxers. That's in the headline. And they made a charge at one of the independent television networks, ITN, and a particular issue of a presenter. But in any event, it once again raises the issue of vaccine politics in London and in the United Kingdom. Joe, the United Kingdom is awash in virus, and a large percentage of the population is doubly vaccinated. Is there growing resistance to the vaccine in the UK, or are these splinter groups that gain attention because they're good at guerrilla theater?
I think it's actually the latter, because an important difference between the UK and the US right now is that there is not as much resistance to the vaccine in general in the UK as there is in the States. And in fact, you can just see that very simply from the proportion of the population that has now been double vaccinated. It is much higher here than it is in the States. You do have this very vocal, sort of group of people, some of whom have been inspired to protest, which is what we've been seeing, with some of these actions, such as what you were describing. But it isn't the same way that it is in the U.S. I think that it isn't quite as widespread. And so the bigger issue here just continues to be the civil liberties issue. It's not precisely about the vaccine and whether people should have it, but it's about whether you should be requiring vaccine passports to, access various things like pubs or restaurants or nightclubs or the like. And that is kind of what the issue is. That doesn't mean that you won't have some of these protests that will end up getting a lot of attention on the evening news just because they're there. But I think that one should not assume that this is a bigger movement in the UK than it is in some other parts of Europe or America.
We have a headline in the London Times that might be the direction that the U.S. is moving. Government orders 35 million Pfizer vaccines to, quote, future-proof, end quote, Britain against COVID. First graft, a further 35 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine will be delivered to the U.K. next year to supply booster programs and defend against new COVID variants. Sajid Javid, the health secretary, announced a deal to help future-proof Britain's vaccination drive, providing enough vaccine to fight COVID-19, quote, for years to come. And, Joe, I believe what I'm reading here is that the Johnson government is getting the United Kingdom used to the idea that this is not going to go away, that we're going to live with it, and there are going to be variants that are dangerous and perilous to certain groups. And this points to the fact that third jab, they've debated it often on the television and in the newspapers. Is the third jab now expected or underway in Britain? I've missed out about how they've been qualifying it. We have talk of it here, but it's not yet identified as something you must do or should do or must, or the government can mandate state to state.
It is not yet underway here, but I think that there's been discussion for some time that there would probably need to be a booster program, at least for the most vulnerable, and that seems to be the direction that they are heading. So I think that where people are right now, there is an expectation that there is going to be a booster program as early as this fall. In fact, it could even start in September. And people are just waiting to see what form that is going to take. And again, I think that this is an instance where the government seems to be getting messaging correct, because they were up front with people right from the start, that it might be the case that you would need boosters. And so this is not coming across as any sort of failure of the original vaccination program, which is, I think, a bit of the messaging that they have gotten right on all of this.
We turn to the larger picture of the economy. We must recover. The conditions of 2020 badly damaged confidence, the unemployment, the supply chain. All of those things have not yet been completely solved here in the United States, and from the headlines in London, not solved there as well. London, is, for me, has been a guide through these last year and a half. They get to problems and solutions or not sooner than the U.S., perhaps because of the size difference, perhaps because we're a federal system, and they can concentrate power in the cabinet in London and in parliament in a fashion that we cannot, also because their ministers must answer during PM questions in a way our ministers do not. So I look to the recovery in London to measure how our recovery is going. We've had good GDP numbers for some time, but Joe, you're in your day job, you write political economics. And the Federal Reserve, which has come to be understood as a central bank for the solar system, is meeting in September, September 21 and 22 is my memory, somewhere around the change from summer to fall. And the debate now seems to be tapering, which means tightening, which means the Federal Reserve moving away in some fashion from zero interest. Is that debate going on in London? And have I characterized the debate in Washington correctly, even though all the members of the Federal Reserve are in Wyoming now enjoying their holiday?
Yes, I think that's all broadly correct. I mean, this is definitely a live issue here in the UK, because they have their own inflation problem, and the Bank of England has been trying to figure out what they can do about it. But everyone is taking the lead of the Federal Reserve, because no other central bank wants to be the only one to normalize policy. And the debate in Washington right now is this tapering issue, because they've been buying $120 billion worth of bonds every month, $80 billion of that in treasury bonds and $40 billion of that in mortgage-backed securities under quantitative easing. And all we're talking about here is whether they might buy gradually less than $120 billion. So they will still be intervening in the market in that way, just somewhat less. And even that is proving to be a very difficult step for the Fed to take, with a lot of uncertainty about exactly when it might happen. And they claim that they don't have a clear read on what the economic consequences would be. So you really, in a way, almost have to feel sorry for someone like Andrew Bailey, who is the head of the Bank of England, the UK central bank, who has to figure out what they are going to do to manage their inflation situation over here, if the Fed is not going to be offering any kind of guidance or leadership to other policymakers around the world as they all try to deal with these problems.
Inflation. For months now, Joe, we've had remarks that are ambiguous about inflation, and oft times, again and again, they use the word temporary, transitory, to characterize the inflation, not to worry. The food basket that Americans are experiencing right now is pricey, and people are avoiding certain products that they routinely buy, or they're worried about how much they can buy. I'm presuming that same thing is going on in the UK. Has there been a determination now, with the Federal Reserve tiptoeing towards tapering, that the inflation is not entirely or not transitory?
Quite the opposite. They still seem to be clinging to this notion that it is transitory, partly because I think that they do not want to admit that they might have gotten that call wrong earlier in the year. So we're going to be living potentially in this odd kind of looking glass world, where on the one hand, they will still be claiming that it is transitory inflation that does not really require a policy response, but at the same time, they will be doing something because deep down they will recognize that it might not be transitory. And make of that what you will, I expect that people will particularly in markets, might find it a rather confusing time to figure out exactly what the Fed thinks is happening and what they plan to do about it.
And that is a question of uncertainty and confidence and a lack of confidence that the markets hate, but the market's doing very well, and who can tell? Markets go up and down. So I want to turn to the other large story that is pending. We know it's coming, which is the refugee crisis that is imminent because of Afghanistan. Despite the announcements by all of the players right now, there's no certainty other than the fact that there will be Afghans seeking other homes. I know I've established in these last weeks that there are 500,000 Afghan citizens in Turkey right now, before this crisis, before the Taliban's final march. I talked to India, and India already has a sizable Afghan diaspora, and it's growing because they're welcoming people who are being flown out. However, once the immediate crisis is gone, the borders in Afghanistan are leaky, and people will be making their way. They're genuine refugees fearing persecution, which means they're not economic migrants anymore. And that means that they have a purchase to get into Europe. I know Emmanuel Macron raised that issue very early in the Kabul crisis. And Mario Draghi of Italy also said we must work together on this. And I believe that's why the G7 meeting, and now there'll be a G20 meeting. Is this part of the story yet in London? Because you know the Tories have their anti-migrant faction. UKIP is always ready to unroll its banner and march in the streets, or however, hang out at the pubs, whatever UKIP does. Is that now mumbled around the edges as a coming crisis?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the migration situation is absolutely going to be the next shoe that will drop for Europe and all of this. But the politics of it are going to be really interesting, because on a certain level, precisely because, as you pointed out, these are refugees, they are in the traditional sense, they are not economic migrants, which so many of the people who came in the wave in 2015 were. On one sense, welcoming the Afghans will not be as controversial as some of the earlier waves were. And in fact, for a lot of them who did work for European countries, either as translators or in some other capacity, there will be a sense that there is a moral obligation to take them in, because they are under danger from the Taliban if they stay in Afghanistan. I think the key issue is that people will want to accept them in a way that seems to be orderly and follow some kind of legal process. So where this will end up becoming really difficult is if that process does not act efficiently enough to get the people whom it covers, or is not efficient, effective at getting those people out and resettling them through normal channels, so that they do start making some of these perilous and not entirely legal land journeys. That is the point at which it will become controversial, because I think Europeans might be prepared to welcome refugees, but will not want to see a large uncontrolled migration flow coming in as a result of this.
One more twist. The Taliban is in control in Kabul right now. For weeks, for months, for years, the Taliban has been very careful to avoid talking about Al-Qaeda. The reporting, however, says that Al-Qaeda never really left the region. ISIS is the new player, an opponent of both the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, but nonetheless a bad actor. The chatter around the world is radicals on the march. Is that part of the news cycle in London yet, that the transnational threat of terror is increasing, not decreasing, for this 9/11?
Well, it has to be part of the conversation here, because, I mean, that's the other thing that they're worried about. Because remember, it's not just the U.S. that suffers terror attacks. I mean, most European countries now, the large ones, have suffered some form of Islamist terror attack, and often many over the past 20 years. And they will be particularly concerned about whether these events in Afghanistan are going to create a new safe haven from which some of those attacks in future could be organized. So this speaks to, again, to this broader issue of the alliance with the U.S. And they feel undermined by the haste with which the U.S. withdrew without giving them a heads up and an opportunity to sort out their own logistical challenges on the ground in Afghanistan. And now they also feel undermined by the way the U.S. action is going to contribute both to this migration crisis and to these terrorism concerns.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. When we come back, our favorite conversation for the last year and a half, life in London's parks, life in London in general, a beautiful city, especially in when it's half empty, as it is in August. Everybody's in the south of France except for Joe. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.